Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Greg Wrightstone, who is a returning guest, and we're going to talk about climate change and specifically the Biden administration. Greg, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's very timely, actually, because we're seeing the results both in Texas and in Germany right now of what relying on reliably unreliable renewables get you. And what it gets you are blackouts and brownouts. And again, we're seeing that on both sides of the earth, in Germany here and in our own country in Texas.
Huh. What's happening in Texas?
Oh, 75% of the counties in Texas are being experiencing blackouts. The winter ice storm, the great polar vortex, swept down with an ice storm. Ice took more than around half of the all the wind energy, all the wind turbines were shut down. They got iced up, and that impacted greatly. Texas relies quite a bit on wind energy to supply their system, and with half of it knocked out, and they're seeing record demand for electricity now in this cold snap. Because down in Texas, they don't have natural gas fired heat, and they can get by usually with electric heat capacity. But so now that's putting a strain on the system. Just when half their wind energy goes down, so they're again about 75% of Texas is experiencing blackouts. We're seeing the same thing in Germany. They had a terrible ice storm. They're seeing a similar polar vortex there as we speak. And so these are people that are being impacted. We got people in Texas. I was just reading, the families are going out to stay warm in their cars. They can't heat their homes.
Oh my. My goodness.
I read a guy, it's not funny, but he said he thought he had protected everything and he forgot about his toilets, and he's got one of his two toilets is completely frozen solid. He'll probably have to repair it.
Wow. Okay, let's back up and just talk about climate change in general. The left is saying we've got this basically catastrophic man-made global warming. We must fight this, otherwise we're going to have all these weather catastrophes that are, again, caused by man's, emission of carbons and so forth. And because of this, Joe Biden, now as president, has said, oh, let's stop with the Keystone Pipeline. And he's doing all these other measures to kind of bring in the Green New Deal. It's my understanding you don't even agree with the whole premise that the left has, that we have this problem of catastrophic man-made global warming, which is wreaking havoc on the weather and the climate.
Oh, it's absolutely not. It was my research for my book, Inconvenient Facts. And that book, I didn't set out to write a book, but what I did was set out on a personal search for the truth, because I knew that some of what we're being told about climate change was just wrong because of my experience and knowledge as a geologist. I suspected other things were, and as I dove into it, I found out just one item after another that we're being told are factual harms that are occurring or will occur just aren't happening. And so we look at it. I look at it, well, there are two big questions we need to ask. Number one, is our warming planet, and yes, we're in a warming trend. It's been warming for over 300 years. Of course, remember, 300 years would take us about 250 years before we started adding CO2 in large amounts to the atmosphere. Is that warming we've seen over the last several decades, really since 1950, is that mainly man-made due to our greenhouse gases, or is it naturally driven, like we've seen through temperature cycling up and down since the dawn of time? The second thing we have to ask is this increasing CO2 and this modest warming we're seeing, is it harmful or beneficial? And to answer number one, as a geologist, I look through Earth's history and see how the temperature has, again, cycled up and down, and particularly if we look over since the rise of the first civilizations 5,000 or 6,000 years ago, we've seen three other warming trends that were very similar to what we see today and warmer than today. And in all of those warming trends, human civilization flourished. So there's a strong correlation there between the rise and fall of temperature and the rise and fall of of civilizations, and we find it's just opposite again of what we're being told. It was the intervening cold periods that were horrific. Famine, crop failure, pestilence, and mass depopulation accompanied the cold periods, not the warm periods. So we're being told, aren't we, we can't let it get a degree and a half warmer or 2 degrees warmer, or we're going to have famine and death, and we're all going to die, and it'd be horrific. And that's just not what we see, because I can look back through human history and geologic history to look at those periods that were that warm that they're saying we're going to be. And again, Earth's ecosystems thrived in those times. Humanity prospered. Food was bountiful. If you were Emperor Jerry in a warming period, you'd be pretty safe. You could feed your people. And I think you'd be a good emperor, by the way.
Oh.
But if you were Emperor Jerry in a cooling period, you probably wouldn't be emperor very long, because you couldn't feed your subjects. And that's what we saw throughout Earth's history, that societal collapse would occur because of famine and mass depopulation events. And again, just opposite of what we're being told.
Okay.
And we see, I'm now the executive director of the CO2 Coalition, which is a group of 60 of the top scientists in the world, Will Happer from Princeton, Richard Lindzen from MIT, and others. And we promote this fact-based idea that increasing CO2 and warming are benefiting the Earth, and not by a little bit, but by a lot.
Okay, let's talk about the Keystone Pipeline. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, it's going to take 830,000 barrels that would come into the United States. It shuts it down. That oil will probably end up getting here anyhow, so they're not really going to do anything to stop that oil from being consumed. It'll probably now come down on rail instead of by pipeline. So the pipeline is the safest and most efficient means of transportation. So what they've done now is just shunted that over to a less safe form of transportation. It just doesn't make sense. And it's estimated some 11,000 to 13,000 jobs will be impacted because of this, just from that. The good news is America right today, and over the last 4 years we've seen in particular, during the Trump administration, we're awash in oil and natural gas, and we've got huge amounts of it right now. And that's why the costs for both are actually quite low. All the things that are being done with both the Keystone Pipeline and the ban on leases and permitting for federal properties, what they'll do is serve eventually to increase the cost of gasoline, of diesel. It'll impact some with natural gas, not so much, though. But that, after all, is the primary goal of the Green New Deal and for these new Biden administration policies. Their goal is to increase energy costs for you and every one of your listeners, and not by a little, but by a lot. What they want to do is any energy from fossil fuels, and again, that's oil, that impacts natural gas, electricity generation from coal and natural gas, all of those necessarily will be increased in cost by a lot, maybe quintupled. You might see 4- or 5-fold increases of those. And what will that do? What that does is make that form of electricity that's generated by coal and natural gas, it'll drive it sky high, and it'll make the renewable energy sources economically attractive, artificially, I might say. But the dirty little secret is every megawatt that you generate from a renewable, from either wind or solar, there has to be an equivalent amount of reliable energy, and that's either nuclear, hydro, coal, or natural gas, one of those four, have to back up that renewable source. Because, as you can see, what's just going on in Texas and Germany right now, the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, and sometimes it blows too hard, and sometimes we'll get ice storms that shuts the entire grid down. With these. So you have to have this backup. And what I do is I describe fossil fuel-powered electricity in three descriptive terms: reliable, abundant, and affordable. None of those three descriptors can be used for wind or solar. When we look at, for example, hydro, electric with dams, and nuclear, they're reliable and abundant, but not so affordable. They can't compete with coal and natural gas for electricity generation. But definitely, I don't call them renewables. I call them the unreliables. And that's exactly. And the chickens are coming home to roost right now. If any of your listeners are in Texas, they're experiencing it.
Wow. So basically, what you're saying is that the goal of the Biden administration is to tax the fossil fuels and so forth, coal-fired, natural gas-fired electricity prices, make these things so sky-high.
Oh, yeah.
So that solar and wind companies can become competitive, essentially.
Yeah, that's it. They don't put it in those terms, but that's what's going to happen. It's going to be taxes. It's going to be – you can regulate these things out of business as well by just imposing bans, if you will. They can support what we're seeing now. They're contending that oil and natural gas, in fact, I just made a statement for Fox Business on that earlier today concerning oil and gas subsidies. Well, oil and gas, they don't really get subsidies. What they're calling subsidies are really just basic business expenses that other businesses enjoy as well. Now, by enjoy, I mean what business could survive if you couldn't write off your expenses? Not too many of them.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. What they're doing is in the oil and natural gas, they're confusing with what are called intangible drilling costs. Those are the things you can't touch. Kind of like drilling. You can't touch a hole that's been drilled. You can't touch labor, but you can put tangible or things like pipe and a wellhead. You can touch that. But the intangible costs are able to be written off in the first year for oil and gas instead of amortized over several years. But again, these are normal business expenses. What we do see for the renewables and the unreliables are true, huge subsidies to get these done. There wouldn't be too many wind projects or solar projects in the United States or really around the world without these large subsidies.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. So it looks like we're facing higher prices for the energy that we consume.
Oh, yeah. That's their goal. Their goal is to raise energy prices across the board. And they're going to do that through many means. But that's their goal, is make fossil fuel-fired energy unaffordable. And if we just have a few seconds, I just want to tell
sure.
you, Jerry, it's an amazing, just in the last few weeks, my book, Inconvenient Facts, got back up to number one bestseller on Amazon in a couple of categories. So,
congratulations.
It was quite a surprise after 3 years, and it's still selling briskly.
That's your website, right? Isn't it? Inconvenientfacts.xyz?
It is.
Yeah.
Or you can learn more of the CO2 Coalition at co2coalition.org.
Okay. Greg Wrightstone, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.